Welcome to the Business Network Show with experienced networkers and business owners, Jill Russell and Linda Cloak.
Hello, can anybody hear me?
Advertising your business can sometimes feel like you're trapped down a well, waiting for someone to respond. Choosing to market your business with fuzzy logic, you won't just be heard, you'll be seen. We offer websites, social media and content creation packages that are fully bespoke to you and your business. And the best thing about it, we're affordable. So stop hiding and boost your digital presence using the power of fuzzy logic. Visit www.fuzzy.studio for more information.
Good afternoon, everybody. So my name is Linda Cloak and my business is Synergy Networking Events. And I'd like to say hello to my guests here this afternoon, which is Jane Martin from the FSB. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Nice to see you here today. And Jason from British AI.
Hey.
Hi. Oh, you won't be able to hear him because he sat right back like really cool. And
I'm here.
And Phil Thorne from Bay Branded Merch. Get my tongue around that one.
Hello.
So great to see you all. So I'm going to, it's going to be a full chat show and we're not going to have any music. I'll do a brief advert, a little stint in the middle. And we've got a couple of shout outs from some of the Synergy members as well about events they're doing and different things that's going on in Synergy. But we're going to be talking to Jane and going through a bit of Jane's history. And we both started the world in hospitality. So tell me where you started working life, Jane.
I started in hospitality. I went to college in London and I started in my time in London working for the Royal Family Catering, actually.
Oh.
A company who did the catering for the Royal Family. So we used to do garden parties at Buckingham Palace. We used to do events like Ascot, Wimbledon. That was all while I was studying. And then after that, my very first job was as an assistant manager in a restaurant in South London in Crystal Palace.
Mm. So you stayed in the food and beverage industry until, what's My Kind of Town?
Oh, yes. My Kind of Town was a brilliant company. Some of you might not know it. Definitely you, Jason, not because you're too young. It was a company set up by a guy called Bob Payton, who at the end of the day was an American who was living in London, an estate broker, who was unhappy that he couldn't find American food. So he set up Chicago Rib Shack in London, in Charing Cross Road, which was a huge success, and then Henry J. Bean's in the King's Road.
Oh.
And I worked for them when I was living in Europe. We opened a chain of cocktail bars. We opened Chicago Meatpackers, which was a burgers, steaks, ribs place, and I ran those.
Wow. So you've sort of, because then the next one was Hard Rock Cafe,
yep.
And then you had Warner Brothers Movie and Cafe Especial Group, which presumably was the sort of thing as well. So when did you actually move into, was it when you became sort of a business trainer, new business?
So when my last role was Warner Brothers Movie World, where mm-hmm. I ran the catering division in that, and that was a big thing,
mm-hmm.
A theme park with 500 employees in the catering department. And then I just decided to set up my own consultancy, which was in 2001.
Right, okay.
So I set that up in 2001, and it was small pubs, restaurants, hotels, wine bars, vineyards, and it just exploded.
That's fantastic.
So it was really great. So I was driving all over the place, helping people to make their business profitable.
Wow.
Do that today.
That's exactly the same time that I started my dating agency, 2001.
Yeah. Pity I didn't know you then.
Did you know lots of single people then?
I knew lots of single people. Oh. But also in the hospitality industry, one of the reasons that I got out of it eventually was because all you do is you work late nights, and particularly if you're running cocktail bars and things like that, you finish work at 3 o'clock in the morning and you don't have a life.
Mm.
So it's always a good thing.
Mm, definitely. Okay, so you're known as the Business Connector. Did you give yourself that name?
I was, when I joined the FSB as a membership advisor, it was during the COVID period, actually. I started with the FSB with the idea that it would be an add-on to my hospitality consulting business. And 6 weeks later, hospitality consulting died because COVID hit.
Uh-huh.
So I was sitting at home thinking, well, how can I position myself differently from all the others? Because the 60, we're all self-employed, but the 60 odd of us selling FSB memberships. And I was talking to lots of people who were members in the past and saying, you know, what's the one thing that you think could be better? And they were saying, well, we don't have too much contact with the person who signed us up or the person who brought us into the membership. And that's correct, because our role is to find members, sign them up, and then they get looked after by the wider FSB team. But it comes down to what perhaps we're going to be talking about and networking. When you create a relationship with somebody, they see you as your point of contact. So I decided then that I would spend more time looking after my clients and trying to offer value by making introductions and referrals through that huge network of 500,000 businesses. So that's where the Business Connector came from.
And we were saying earlier how hospitality leads really nicely into networking because, yeah. You know, when you're in hospitality, you're doing it all the time. Yeah. Like, it just comes naturally, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And the customer's always right. You're always trying to get customer service, offering always good customer service is the key to any hospitality business. So it's in my DNA. Mm-hmm. It's just normal.
Yeah, it is normal. And I had a chat today with a lady called Amy McGowan.
Oh, yes.
And she's offered for Synergy to be partners in the International Franchise Show.
Oh, fabulous.
Yes, and I understand FSB is.
Yes.
So how long has FSB been partners in the International Franchise Show?
To be honest, I'm not sure because that's not my area.
Okay.
I can definitely pass that on to you and find out and get the right person who deals with that to do it. But we've had franchise as part of our membership, supporting franchises and a special package for franchises for the last 2 years mm-hmm. in the membership. So it's something that we're very keen to work with.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that, you know, I thought it was really good because I've got a couple of members that I think might be interested in being partners as well. But we were telling her all about the show on the 18th as well.
Brilliant.
Just said it was a good place for her to come and potentially, Fantastic. You know, meet some people. Yeah. So leading nicely into that is tell us about the show. So, there, so how many stands are there?
So the Federation of Small Business mm-hmm. businesses, we have in each different region. So we're UK and Northern Ireland wide. We have, for the last couple of years, been operating what's called boot camps. So we do lots of networking, but boot camps are something very different. They're all-day events, and they're basically there for business owners to invest something in themselves, some time, and to learn some expertise. Mm-hmm. So we've got Zoe Cairn speaking about social media. We've got Nick Bills talking about how to put everything together with websites and so on, and your marketing and get a cohesive package. We've got Mark Jennings talking about websites, but we've also got Jodie Tierney speaking about debt recovery. Oh. We've got somebody speaking about finance. We've got somebody speaking about making sure that you actually have key things in place like wills and lasting power of attorney.
Oh, I met her yesterday.
Yes.
Teresa.
So there's a huge, and there's lots more. And around the outside, so it's an event for members and non-members of the FSB. It's on the 18th of June from 9 till 3 mm-hmm. In the Inn on the Lake at Gravesend. It's going to be a phenomenal event. There are around the outside around about 35 stands mm-hmm. where different businesses are also exhibiting and talking about what they offer. And mm-hmm. there's some quite interesting ones there. There's a lady there who's running Specify VA, which is a offshoring company, which is quite an interesting thing for small businesses to look at offshoring, because there's lots of jobs and roles that can be filled by somebody who's far cheaper than sourcing somebody in the UK.
What do you think about that though? I don't know. I mean, I've been approached about it and I just say, no, they're not my members. But I suppose she would be a member. Potentially.
She's
a member, but she outsources it to the other people who are cheaper.
How that works very quickly is so Kemco is a member of the FSB. She would, I'm sure, be open to being a member of Synergy, and I can introduce you to her. And She has teams of people in Africa, South Africa, Philippines, and they, what she basically does is she recruits any high quality remote role. So it might be project managers for construction, it might be marketing people, it might be salespeople, it might be callers, it might be VAs, but they are at a fraction of the cost of actually finding somebody in the UK. But most importantly, I was at a networking event last Friday and somebody was saying, can you, it was Mastermind, and somebody was saying, can you help? I've had this ad, it was a lady who runs a block management company and she's looking for a project manager. And she said, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm here, I'm there, I'm all over the place. I don't know what's wrong, but I just can't find people. So there is a big challenge at the moment for a lot of people to be able to find the right people. So I don't necessarily think it's the right thing, Linda, for every role. But when somebody's struggling, then what I can do is I can say, well, look, have a chat with Kempka. And Kempka will be quite straight and say, this is something I can help you with, but it's something that I might not be able to help with. Mm. So it's certainly worth looking at.
Mm. It's a different thing, isn't it? Yeah. It's just, you know, sometimes you can get things cheaper, but then you think, well, you know, I'm sort of, I've got VAs in Synergy and I, so there's no way I'd go and use a VA.
No, absolutely. And of course, we want to keep business in the UK and we want to keep business in Kent, don't we?
Absolutely. Okay, so how many visitors have you got coming to the show? And is it going to be like, I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of speakers. Does everybody sit and listen to the speaker, or do you choose who you want to listen to? Is it one speaker?
From what I understand, it's an open room.
Yeah.
And everybody sits and listens to all the speakers.
Right.
If somebody wants to mill out, they can mill out and they can go and have a look at stands and do what they want. And there's a separate area for lunch. There's going to be probably we're hoping that we will have 100 people there. And we're getting close to that number now.
Mm-hmm.
They're a mixture of, a lot of them will be members of the Federation of Small Businesses, but also a lot, I sent an email out yesterday to 90 people that aren't members saying, listen, please come along.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds great. So you've got a stand there, haven't you, Phil?
We have, yes. Bay Branded Merch are exhibiting there, yeah.
Okay, so I understand there's actually another event on in Canterbury on the same day.
Yes,
there is. Which is another expo, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what made you decide to do the FSB one?
We weren't initially going to do the FSB event, but a contact of mine has said that she was going to do the FSB event, and she's someone that I've connected with quite well over the last couple of months. And so we said, you know what? I've just joined the FSB, a part of Bay Branded Merch.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go here.
Mm-hmm.
So it was as simple as that, really.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been a member of FSB because you join as the person, don't
yeah.
you? Yeah. So I've been a member for a long time and I had a website hacked. Did you know that?
No.
Destroyed, actually, not just hacked, totally destroyed. Lost a lot of money. And the FSB at the time, I understand they've stopped doing it now, but I got £5,000 off them.
Wow.
Which really helped me because it completely destroyed my business. And I didn't owe a lot of money because I pay all my stuff as I go. But, you know, the money I did owe, that £5,000 really helped me to sort things out. But, yeah, it was a little blight in a very devastating time. So, and I've also turned to them for franchise help, franchise contract, and quite a few, you know, other little contracty things. So, you know, it's really useful from that perspective. Have you heard of them or? Jason?
What, FSB?
Yeah.
I'm a member.
You're a member as well. Have you used them?
Not that much yet, no.
No. I think it's looking into everything. So tell us the sort of things that you find that people use most, Jane.
The legal advice. So there's a 24/7 legal advice helpline, and I don't particularly like the phrase 24/7 because I think it's very overused. And when I explain, that means that you can call on a Sunday or on a bank holiday, people go, oh, wow. But the reason why it's a 24/7 legal advice helpline is because if a small business has a crisis on a Sunday, you know, that small business might be 1, 2, 5 staff, is going to panic and worry about that thing the whole weekend, the whole evening, and will try on Monday to get a solicitor's appointment and probably will get one on a Wednesday or a Thursday. And the FSB understands that a small business needs to have that peace of mind straight away. So that's why it's 24/7. So you call up, you tell them what the problem is, and then within 1 hour, usually within 1 hour, the specialist who's going to deal with your issue will call back. So if it was a tax issue, you'd get a tax expert. If it's employment, you get an employment solicitor and so on. So that's one of the most used things. Also, the legal hub, which is where all the legal documents are. So I was talking to somebody this morning about it. You know, if you need a contract, or lots of businesses have been in business for quite some time, have got everything in place. But the question then is, when was the last time you updated your contracts? And the FSB has all these things in place and has them constantly being upgraded and updated. And you can just download those things and use them for your own business.
Yeah, that document hub, I think, is really, really handy. You know, even if you just read it through and it's for guidance, it's great to have it there and you can access it at any time, can't you?
Absolutely. And I think the other thing, I mean, there's other things in there. One thing that's now being increasingly used and asked about, and I've had a lot of questions in the last few days, particularly, is funding.
Mm.
So we have a funding platform. We work with over 100 different lenders. And the key thing I think about the FSB membership is it's not there to judge a business. So for whatever reason somebody needs to use the service, we're just there to provide the service and to help you. And so it's a really simple, you fill out an application form and then somebody call you to talk to you about it, and then they'll anonymise your application so that it protects your credit rating, go out, search, find out what options there are for you, and then come back. And you're only unanonymised. Oh, I managed to get that word out without...
Yeah, that's very good.
Unanonymised. With once you want to proceed. So it's a really good process. So people are asking for that an awful lot. And the other one that's being asked for an awful lot is debt recovery, which is the FSB has a number of things in place. It has free credit checks. So you can do free credit checks if you want to go into business with somebody before you go into business with them, anonymously, to make sure that they are solvent. But then if you obviously are working with somebody and they're just not paying you on time, or they're not paying you at all, then there is the debt recovery team, again, 24/7, and all of the legal documentation you need to recover funds, which is brilliant. And I didn't realise this until very recently. It also covers overseas debt. So if you're working with a business in Europe or a business in Spain or somewhere and they owe you money, the FSB debt recovery will cover that. So they will give you the advice and the support and the legal stuff to chase those people for that money. So those are the key things that are being asked for at the moment.
And I also met a man at our big summit that does FSB insurance.
Yes.
So
the FSB insurance is amazing. They are brilliant. They offer business insurance only. But what it is part of your membership. So you're not required to take insurances, but I always say to everybody, register for the free insurance because you get lots of free services as well automatically. Always get a quote because you can use that if you are bargaining with your own current insurance. But they're there to give you, as part of the membership, impartial advice about any insurance matter you have. So if you're talking to your broker and you just want to run it past FSB to get a different viewpoint on what you should do, they're there for that. And they offer interesting things like, for example, fleet insurance from two cars. So if a business has two cars, you can get fleet insurance, which quite often you can't in lots of other organisations. They offer free business continuity planning kits, free credit checks, as I mentioned. And most importantly, they will do what's called a zero-based review every single year. So what they don't do is just say to you, Linda, this is what your insurance is going to be this year. They'll sit down with you and they'll talk you through what's happened in the business this year. Has the business expanded? Has it contracted? What's happening? Have you got different premises? To make absolutely sure that you are fully covered. Because what we found is after COVID, over 70% of businesses didn't have sufficient cover, so they'd reduced it all down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very good service.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So I think it's really good to be a member just from a safety perspective and making sure you understand all the things that are available, isn't it, really? Especially for new businesses, because the outlay is very small, isn't it?
Yes.
It's less than £200, isn't it?
It starts for a small business with no employees at less than £200. Mm. At the moment, for a business 1 to 5 employees, there's a special offer, which is £50 off. So it's £295 for that business with 1 to 5 employees. And why is that important? So it covers that business for employment tribunal issues. And it also means that every single employee plus the directors in that company have jury service payment. So if somebody gets called to jury service, you can claim £2,500 of jury service payment for the loss of earnings of that employee. So if you're a small business and one person's taken out of action, then you've either got to pay somebody else to come in or you've got to work doubly hard. And it might be a business, you know, that's got, if it's a hospitality business, they might have a big event coming up, and one person disappearing could be awful. So that's very, very helpful.
Mm, yeah, that's fantastic. That's a good one to know, isn't it? Did you know any of that, guys? But you didn't.
I didn't know that. No. What about for businesses like you said, the obviously the zero employees? So it's a sole trader.
As a membership of the FSB, it's automatically in there. So not for an associate, but for the owner of the business, like Linda or Mike, they also have £2,500 of jury service if they get called themselves.
Okay.
Mm. What theirs is not loss of earnings, it's expenses.
Mm. That's really interesting.
So you have that as well if you're a member.
That's really good, yeah.
Mm. So I'd like to talk now about the networking events that you do, you know, aside from obviously the big boot camp, because you meet in Valerie's, don't you?
Yes.
In Ashford. And how often do you do that?
Well, I always go by taxi, I'll say the first things, because it's in the evening and I love to have a glass of wine there.
Yeah, I'd love to have a glass of wine there as well, but I've got to drive back to Maidstone. Yeah.
Well, we have people coming from Chatham. We have people coming from Margate, all over the place. So I'm sure we can find somebody who can give
it's
you
a 6 minutes walk from the train station. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So it's not the only event we do, but we do, that one's become very well populated. Valerie's Wine Bar in Ashford is a great, as Phil said, it's 6 minutes walk. There's a car park behind for car parking, which is 2 minutes, and it's free after 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
There's car parking also out the front after 5 o'clock. And it's a lovely wine bar. And what we found is our networking are always small groups. That place, that location takes maximum 45. And what we find is it's very compact and a lot of great conversations happen, great introductions, great referrals. And it's just lots of great conversation. And I do think, I don't want to give anybody the impression that I'm a complete, you know, wino, but I think when people have worked really hard and they can just have one glass of wine, or they'd also do phenomenal cocktails and phenomenal alcohol-free cocktails. It's just a really great place to meet and have a chat.
So tell me the format of that event. What's the format? Is it just everyone just dibs in? And
yes. our events are always very informal. People come in and we introduce people and do the connections, and we'll introduce and say, hey, Jason, this is Linda. This is what Linda does. And then you get yourself a drink. After about half an hour, there's somebody talking. So there's one of the members who's an expert at a particular issue is speaking for 10 minutes.
And
10,
how
minutes.
Do you choose your speakers?
Well, we haven't had you yet, Linda, and maybe we should. We have an event in July. Mm-hmm. And we're looking, I think, for somebody in July, because we wanted to switch out, move. We have lots of people on the list, but obviously it goes on the themes, what's current at the moment.
Mm. And when is it in July?
I will give you the date. I think it's the 17th of July. It's the Thursday.
That's the 16th of July.
So it's either the 16th of July or it's the week before. But anyway.
And how often is it, monthly or bi-monthly?
It's every 2 months in Ashford.
Okay.
But we also have one this Thursday, which is in Gravesend, which is in Whitehall Place in Gravesend, which is stepping out with FSB Connect. It's in conjunction with Sian Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
We have other events going on across. And, of course, we partner with Synergy. Mm. So we're working with you on Metro Bank events, Tunbridge Wells. Any listeners, please come to Tunbridge Wells. That's a great event, and it would be great to have some more people there. Mm. We've got Maidstone, haven't we? So we're working very closely with you on those. I'm about to launch a networking group in Ashford.
There's one shortly. That someone told me about, it's called, there's several with this name, but it's been going for a long time, and it's a free event, and it's called Business Club, and it meets in one of the pubs.
Yes, it does.
What one's that? Because she was saying that, she met a lot of businesses, she's been going there for some time. I've never heard of it.
As far as I know, that the Business Club is it's a franchise, and I think there's the
Foxy. So it's not.
I don't think it's free, because I actually applied to go to it.
It's not David Juno's one.
No, I don't think it is. But I applied to go to it, and I think it was £50 a year to join, and I paid my membership, and then I was asked politely not to go, because they felt that because FSB offers so many different benefits that it might detract from some of the other members in the group. So I haven't been to it, so I can't really tell you very much about it.
Ah, and interesting that it's the same name as the one that's going across Kent and London, I think, is now. Yeah. But that's interesting, actually, because do you find that people don't join the FSB because they offer the services that you give for free?
No. Well, first of all, the services aren't free. People have to pay their membership, and then they get, obviously, unlimited services. I don't find that people do that. I mean, this morning I was talking to somebody who's a very niche business in Dover, and he said, yeah, I get that, and I get that. And we were talking actually about tax investigation protection, and he said, yeah, I get that from my accountant. And I said, well, do you know roughly what that costs you? And he said, well, I don't know. I think it's in a package, but I think it's around about £500 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, that's in this membership. And your membership is going to cost you £295, and you've got everything else. So I think it's about understanding and listening. That's why it's so important to have a conversation with somebody before you just blindly try to sell them it, to understand. And I'm quite pragmatic. If somebody's comfortable with what they've got now, I will say, well, just stay there. But then it's my job to find the one or two other things inside the membership that might be beneficial for them.
Yeah, I mean, I joined, I've just moved over to Santander Bank, bit of a plug here for you, Santander, and I'm paying £17 a month. But when I worked out what I get for that, so I get my phone insured, I get holiday insurance, and I get vehicle recovery. Now, the vehicle recovery alone costs me £17 a month. So, you know, the fact that I'm getting my holiday insurance and that as well on there is worth me paying the £17 a month.
That's quite good.
So it's looking at, you know, do I go to three separate companies to get that?
Yeah.
Or do I just pay the £17 a month and it all comes under the umbrella of my bank? So it's a very similar thing, isn't it, really?
It is.
So sorry to the people who've missed out.
Do we have to do the other banks are available kind of
comment? We probably do, yeah. Other banks are available. I don't bank with them for my business, actually. And, of course, we do work with Metro Bank. So that's another event we do in Ashford, isn't it?
Yes, and I'm due to have a conversation with Metro Bank about taking out a business bank account on the back of being at the networking.
Yeah.
I mean, in the FSB membership, we have three banking options. But the one that I would flag up that's quite interesting is Zempla Bank.
Never heard of it.
Which used to be called Cash Plus Bank. The reason I think it's good, and I'm just going to say this as it is I've got an account with them because I was with HSBC. Sorry, guys. But then there came this money laundering thing, and they kept asking me all these questions, and I said, well, look, I'm a limited company. Go on Companies House. You can find all this information. But then they wanted to know how I derived my money, where it came from, etc. And I just said, no, it's too intrusive. So I'm not going to give you this information. And they said, well, okay, well, we'll close your account. I said, don't worry, I'll close it for you. So I closed it. And to be quick, I switched with FSB to Zempla. But Zempla's really, really quick, really good. It took me less than 5 minutes to get my account set up. It gives me cash back on all my transactions with my debit card. So later on, when we're finished, I've got to fill up with petrol. I'll use that, and I get cash back. So I'm not a big business, But for example, Valerie's, he's just joined with Zempler. Mm. Every time he goes to buy his spirits for his bar, he's getting 1% cash back, which is quite a substantial sum.
Everything helps, isn't it?
Everything helps. But also, the reason why, for me as an advisor, it's very important to have Zempler in the portfolio is that they don't discriminate against people with poor credit ratings, and they don't discriminate against businesses that have gone bankrupt.
Oh, okay.
And that's really important because we come across, you know, we're not there to judge, but some people have had those things happen in the past. They've gone bankrupt with the business and they've started again. And their challenge is they can't get a bank account.
I bet it happens to loads of people in lockdown, actually, isn't it?
So it's really helpful for me as an advisor to be able to say, don't worry, you can get this here. So it's quite a that's what I find is really good, is there are lots of offers out there, but that one is particularly helpful for me.
Okay, fantastic. It's a good job Phil used to be a radio host because he keeps us on top of all these things. So, so I mean, Metro Bank, you know, that you can open an account with them really quickly and easy as well. So our next event with them is actually Chris is hosting that event.
Oh, great.
With Jill Russell. So Jill Russell is going to be the speaker there. And that's going to be on the 24th of June at 10 a.m. And then going forward, we're going to do Canterbury 1 month and then we're doing Ashford the next. And going forward, it will always be on the first Wednesday of the month.
Oh, that's good.
So Canterbury is going to be on the 1st of July and then Ashford will be 1st of August and so on and so forth. So they'd be really good. And what we're doing is we're making it a benefit for our pro members. So that's going to be one of our benefit for pro members, is we're going to give them the opportunity first to speak at these types, you know, types of events. So, great for our pro members. So I think that's amazing. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, I would just want to say, if anybody wants to have a chat about becoming a member and understanding if it's right for them, we're definitely not pushy, but right now people need the support of an organisation that's there, got their back, protecting them and also helping them to grow their business. And yes, you've got to make an investment into membership, but we're talking in reality about 50 pence a day.
Might be worth you coming to one of my training events.
Absolutely.
Because the training events are all startups.
I'd love to.
And they, really it's talking about the benefits. So I'm a member with you and I'm a member with the Chamber and I talk about those benefits. Yeah. So that's not the route that Synergy is going down. We don't want to be going down that route of offering those things. And I don't think there's any way we could compete with people like FSB and Chamber anyway. So why try? But we talk about all the different networking groups. That's why I thought it was so interesting when the lady was saying about that one in Ashford that's been going a long time, because I try and list every single one. I mean, you've got Marsh Networking. Do you go to Marsh?
Yeah, I do.
I did go to
Terry Booth.
Yeah, Terry Moorfield. Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. So it's interesting to see. And what type of networking is that? Is it, I think I went years ago, is it stand up and do the same as BNI? Stand up and do?
It's breakfast. There's two locations now. It's Lyd Golf Club.
Folkestone.
It's in at Folkestone at the Clifton Hotel.
The Voco Clifton.
Oh, right.
The one that's just been refurbished. Mm-hmm. And it's also at Pet Village Hall on the Sussex border.
Mm-hmm.
They're small events, 30 people maximum. And it's stand up and do 60 seconds. What Terry also has a directory, so it has a business card box and you can put your business cards in there.
Mm.
He's got a website. He does, very similarly to you, proactively promotes the small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite a good network. The one that I would like to say that is going through some changes right now, but is Ladies Who Latte. I know, guys, I'm sitting here with two guys. I, to be honest, never really took much notice of it for years.
It's changed, hasn't it?
But it's changed, and it is incredibly dynamic. And I'm in a number of Ladies Who Latte groups, but there are, just to put it out there, there are 19 in Kent.
Do you think that the reason it's changed is because women are taking up more, I want to say serious businesses. I mean, all business is serious. I don't really know how to say it. Because, you know, when I first heard about it, I thought it's just going to be, you know.
Tupperware.
Sorry,
I don't want to offend it.
That's sort of what I thought it was. And
more prominent roles is what you're saying, isn't it?
Yes. It felt like the businesses were sort of very low-key, mm-hmm. you know, whereas, you know, it was more, you know, do Avon, Tupperware, Tropic, those sorts of things where Herbalife, you know, not really – it is their business because I've done Herbalife, so it is your business, and it is a serious business. Yeah. You have to work blimmin' hard at it as well. Yeah. But I don't know. That's what I was thinking. But I think now you've got people who offer insurance and branded merch and, you know, there's a whole cross-section now, isn't there?
Totally. I mean, for example, if I can just give a shout-out, Ladies Who Latte Mid-Kent
mm-hmm.
and Ladies Who Latte Ebbsfleet, Ladies Who Latte Sheerness – they're run by some really dynamic business ladies. And Ladies Who Latte Mid-Kent, for example, is Adele Martin, who runs Stronger Together Through Cancer.
I know, Adele,
and that's when you attend it, well, you have to book 2 months in advance, otherwise it's booked out. And there are around about 70, 80 people go to it.
Mm.
And all of them have got dynamic businesses.
Mm.
And there's some really big... some really good business that does end up flowing, but it's such a big support mechanism.
Mm, and they stand up and do a presentation as well, aren't they? Mm. And the other one that's worth mentioning, that's a ladies one, is you've got Wibin, haven't you?
Yes.
And then you've got the Sisterhood. Have you been to any of those?
I haven't been to the Sisterhood. That's very good. My list to go to next.
Very good. Amy Avis runs Dartford. Oh, you know the lady who runs Tunbridge Wells. There's a lady who runs Tunbridge Wells as well, which is interesting.
Don't look at me, I don't go.
No, you guys aren't. You guys aren't even allowed.
Hazel.
No, it's not. I'll find out who it is for you. But there's someone runs Tunbridge Wells. So, yeah, really interesting. I mean, what do you think the ladies of this world would say if one of you opened a man-only networking?
The issue I have there is that it was men-only networking for so many years.
Yes.
You know, we really... can't possibly do that now because it's not the right thing to do.
No.
But I'm, you know, there are so many networks out there. Let's say Wibben's been going for old Ladies Who Latte.
Yeah.
And essentially they work so well together and it takes the kind of like the misogyny out of the room to start with. Everyone is very supportive in there. So, yeah, I'm all for as many of them as they can possibly do.
The other thing you find as well is I think people who have come out from being a mum for, I never had that joy, but people who've come out from being not just a mum, God, what am I saying? I wanted to be that. But people who have been, housewives and been at home and been a mother, and then suddenly they go out into the workplace, they start their own business. It's really uncomfortable, I think, going into, you know, a mixed sort of environment. It's so much more comfortable going into an environment where I think it is just women. You feel safer for some reason, which is a bit weird because, you know, obviously you guys are all right, but it does feel safer, doesn't it, for some of them,
absolutely.
I think.
Absolutely. One that, do you know Hard Hat to Heels?
I went there last week, Becky. Yeah,
it's
amazing.
Lovely. It's incredible.
They invite men once a year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an amazing heels. One.
None of them wore heels. I wore my heels. I was really disappointed. I went there and I wore my heels because I thought it's Hard Hats to Heels. So I wore my heels. My legs were killing me the next day and nobody in there had heels on. No.
But also there's Katie running Pow Wow Networking. Who
Pow Wow, yeah. She's lovely, yeah.
She's a really lovely lady.
That's Ashford, isn't it?
Yeah. She's Lenham.
Oh, Lenham, right, okay.
But, I mean, yeah, there's so many. There's so many Dave Hebditch, I don't know if you know David Hebditch.
No.
He's just looking to set up a B2B networking in Ashford. I've just had a talk with him on the way here. So there's a lot going on.
What do you think it is, this explosion of networking businesses? I mean, it's quite interesting, isn't it? Because there is an explosion.
Yeah.
I mean, many of them copy the BNI format. You know, let's face it, at the end of the day, they're all copying it in one way or another. You know, it's 2 minutes, 3 minutes every other week, you know, once a month. It's all the same. Everyone stands up, does a 60 seconds and then sits down, and they've got to be brave enough to go and work the room, you know.
Absolutely.
Because that's the way that format works. But what's this explosion? I mean, obviously, we are part of the explosion because we've only been going 18 months. So we're part of the explosion of new businesses starting.
I think it's very difficult to understand where all these business people are, you know, as in you're going to one group and you'll see a lot of the similar faces in the room.
Mm.
Synergy is not one of those.
No.
I met a whole heap of new people at the Astra Group on Monday evening.
Mm.
But you go to one place and there's a core that are there,
mm,
and there's another core that are there. And a contact of mine recently, actually on LinkedIn, quite visibly, said, with all the networking you do, do you actually do any business?
Yeah.
And to be fair, I took it as quite a flippant comment, but it's actually right.
I know.
You know, how do you actually take the time to then to process the business, to process the relationships? And the answer is people have got to start picking and choosing what works for them.
I mean, I found that because, you know, I was going regularly to quite a few other groups, and I've now got to seriously sit down and say, right, these are the ones I'm going to do. I support Pints and Prosecco, which is actually on the same night as Valerie's. And the reason I support that is because they're members, and they started out when they were members. So it's very relaxed. It's not 60 seconds, thank God. It's like just, you know, just relaxed. It's just, you just go in and have a drink. It's really easy. So I support them. And we support Rookie CEO. It started in October 2024, same month as us. Mm-hmm. So we supported them from the start, and Heather was one of our first members. So there's certain ones, you know, new ones that we support. And again, they are not really networking. They're more about education, which is completely different, isn't it?
You've got different types of networking as well. You've got people who are the out and out business networking groups.
Mm-hmm.
Your B&Is you were talking about there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give a shout out to ABG, Ash Active.
Club.
No, not that one. Active Business Group that meet at the Cave.
I've heard about them.
Tuesday morning. Yeah. Now, I've been there once as a guest.
It's meant to be really good.
It's meant to be good because the first thing they say is, we're not here to sell, we're here to support. They're all business owners. They all want support within their industries because talking, you know, if you're a solopreneur, never thought I'd say that word, but there we go, or someone who's got a very small business, it's a very lonely place at times.
Mm-hmm.
And so having that support alongside you, you know, people who are going through the same process, finding your tribe is a phrase that we use. And I think that particular group is very good at kind of pulling everyone together.
Now, how many is there in there? Because we looked at the Cave and they wouldn't let us use it as a venue.
I think there were, when I went there were about 40 people.
Right, okay.
But I think the reason why they is that time of the morning.
Mm.
So when you do your evening events, it's in the Korean Cowgirl restaurant part of it, which would mean they would be very busy with clients at that time.
Yeah.
Not so much so at 7 o'clock in the morning, but, you know.
No. What do you think about, talking about support, have you ever been to Pure B2B?
Yes.
I haven't, no.
Nigel Whittaker.
Yeah, and that, I think, they're about support, and you only get about, you know, half a dozen people there,
mm-hmm,
but I've put a couple of questions to the group and the feedback I've had has been amazing. And, you know, you see a lot of the same people actually at the Institute of Directors event. That's Ashford as well, isn't it?
Yes.
Again, they offer something completely different. They offer free hot desking, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Which is something not very many people offer, you know. So you've got free hot desking in the International Hotel. But the masterminds with Pure B2B, I think, are priceless. Because if you do a mastermind that's run properly, because I thought, oh, I can do them. And I thought, no, Linda, just do what you're doing. Don't deviate. And Nigel does it brilliantly. So
Nigel,
why would I want to compete with him? He does.
And I'm always trying to encourage people to go. But I think a lot of people don't understand what the mastermind is.
No.
And it can be incredibly, incredibly valuable at moving your business forward. The one that I was talking about earlier, I was also at, is the Breakthrough Women. They've now evolved into mainly a mastermind group, and we were at the event. I was at the event on Friday. There were just about 20 women there. And
that's quite large for a mastermind.
It was quite large.
Mm.
But it was a lunch, and everybody came to the table, and that was where one person came to the table and said, listen, I'm struggling to find employees, I've got this job out, the salary is X, this is the, and I can't find them on LinkedIn. So there was a lot of support and comment there. And there's some pretty dynamic people in that group as well. People like Susie Warren Smith is in that group. But the masterminds, pure B2B, is priceless.
It is. It's amazing. And some of the people that go there, you know, Dan Corp is there. Yes. Dan, you know.
Dan Corp's a great.
You know, valued people who give really good advice. And I know he's with the Institute of Directors as well, isn't he?
There is one that hasn't been mentioned yet, which I'm going to my first one of those at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Long Game.
Oh, Long Game's very good. Is your first one?
Yes, because I'm, you know, it's marketed as a for business owners, decision makers, and it is about building these long relationships. But they're doing a kind of like an invitation event in Canterbury at the end of the month. And I'm going to that for the first time. I met Leanne, who runs that, through a Chamber of Commerce event we did up in Dartford. I think her and I both got there early. We sat down because it was horribly wet. Outside, we sat down and people just started coming to us to talk to us. And that's kind of how that one progressed from there.
They're very much like Nick McGowan's events, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes, yeah.
Very much the same, you know, different location every time.
Yeah.
I think the
and by
basic...
invitation only.
She's not really by... Is she by invitation
yeah,
only?
Yeah, she's by invitation only.
Yes, this one I'm going to at the end of the month is opened up for people to go. But yes, it's normally invitation to these ones.
I've been to a couple of them. I mean, Nick's I've really enjoyed when I've been there because I've met so many different people. And, you know, I don't know, how long's he been going? Long, long time.
He's been doing What's On in Kent for a long time, but I don't know how long the networking has been.
Networking with a Difference, good 3-4 years maybe. Yeah, I think quite a long time. So yeah, that's another one. You do get a mix of hotel managers and different people there. I've noticed with Nick's, quite a lot of them are manufacturing businesses, and you know, quite big businesses go to his, which is fantastic, isn't it? So yeah, really good mix. How many of these have you been to, Jason?
Honestly,
are you doing a list?
Yeah, I'm doing a list of just to find out. So my background's a bit different. I come from an MLM company called Credico. So for us, it was a network of companies that established the same. And what you're saying is what companies don't have. So when I come back to England to build my business, I didn't have the infrastructure or the education or anybody around me to give me like, oh, in England we do this, in England we do that. But where I came from in my old business, I've got a phone book with over 1,500 different people that I can drop a message and go, I need this, I need that. And I think this is what's happening. So, yeah, I'm listing them all down, going, okay, cool, I'm going to go to this one or this there.
The thing, though, with networking, which I'm sure everyone is going to agree with, is you cannot do them all.
No.
You know, you've got to choose the ones that you're going to go to. You've got to commit to them. So Phil will start coming to Synergy Ashford. He's there every month. I know I can rely on him. You're doing Canterbury as well now, aren't you?
Canterbury now as well, yeah.
But the thing is, it's not just me that knows I can rely on him. All the other members in the room know they can rely on him as well.
Yeah.
Which is so important when you're networking, because the thing is, if you don't turn up, then they're not going to be able to rely on you, are they? That's what people are going to feel.
You're not going to talk about the my efforts at the summit now, are you?
No, of course I'm not.
Good.
No, I thought you were brilliant stepping in.
I really felt uncomfortable there simply because that's the first time I've ever done that kind of freeze on the spot thing. I was, you know, yes, this is what I'm going to do, and then stood up there and was like, oh, merchandise.
No, you didn't. You did a fantastic job.
Oh.
Yeah, you absolutely did it. Mike is ringing me, Mike Humphrey Smith.
Oh.
Doesn't he know that I'm here today?
Has he been trying to ring me, Mike Humphrey Smith? For the
I don't know.
Just to come back to that point, I think it's also really important, if you're doing networking, you can't, what we were talking about before we went on air, you know, people trying to sell. It's about creating a relationship. So it's so important to see the same people and to have the chat and to carry it on. What I think is very good in your networking, one of the things that's very good is you have questions on the table which are current, but also encourage you to talk a little bit about yourself outside, just this is what I do. And I think that that's quite important, because I had, after one of the events, I think it was Ashford, somebody sent me a message saying, I'd really like to meet you for a coffee so that we can carry on the conversation about walking your dog. You know, and it was really nice because it was a question that on the thing there, it was asking us, you know, what do you do in your free time or what have you? And I'm saying, yeah, got a dog, go on the beach. And so that's how we started the networking, our coffee, our one-to-one.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny as well because obviously B and I, I'm used to having going there once a week, whereas we're once a month. And someone said to me, oh, can't you make it fortnightly, Lynn, or can't you make it? And I'm like, no, it's monthly. But what you can do is you can arrange one-to-ones with those people, you know, make that deeper relationship. I mean, I had a comment once from someone, funnily enough, from Ashford, and it was someone that was fairly new to networking, and they said, I know everybody who's there now.
Know, like, trust.
I know.
The mantra of networking. You might know they are, but do you actually know them? Do you like what they stand for? What are their sort of ethics?
Do you trust them?
Do you trust them enough to do business with them? So there's knowing the people and there's actually going there and building that rapport, building that relationship. So, yeah, I know someone I met 42 years ago, but do I trust? I've no idea. You know what I mean? It's kind of like,
I think with the network, what I found is your job isn't to go sell yourself to the people there. Your job's to put what you do there and then they refer you to their network. And that's what I found a lot of success with Synergy, where I'd meet one Amy Avis, where she's like, yeah, I'm a utility rep.
She mentioned you in the newsletter today.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's going out on the 17th, but she's mentioned working with you.
Well, this is the knock-on effect, where working with Amy's allowed me to now work with a lot of utility warehouse staff, where I'm actually building a department for them because it's going out from just one person. So it's not even just having a client or finding a sale, it's building a relationship with people who have a 100, 300, 500 network themselves. Say, actually, let me refer you business. And I think that's the better way, because sometimes the solution you have in your business, it may not be for the people in the room, but the people in the room 100% have somebody that they can refer to. And I think that's what I found a lot of success. And Synergy knocks on with that kind of like, have a conversation, build a relationship with people, and they make you feel comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. You feel comfortable going in the room and meeting them. Yeah, brilliant. Okay. Well, we will talk about a bit more networking soon, but I'm going to go with you next, Jason. So if you tell us a little bit about, because you've had quite an interesting start, you become a sort of director quite young, didn't you? And you were a president here in 2018.
So, yeah, I literally worked a job for about a year. And realised I'm not very good at having a boss. So you've got to become one. I worked at phones for you.
So what was Empire Worldwide?
So yeah, I still have that company. It's basically my baby. We established that back in 2010. I was 21. That was my company that I started in Edinburgh. And it started off as a door-to-door firm. And what we did is we worked with TalkTalk. So I don't know if you remember when TalkTalk first got launched.
Yeah.
We basically spearheaded up the field campaigns and built door to door. Then it went to events. Then it went to business, then it went to telephone calls. But yes, it's basically a sales firm, and I still operate that now. To give you perspective, right now we've got 15 people running around Los Angeles right now, who are looking to basically get people to sign petitions so billionaires pay tax. We get paid for that now. So so you have different campaigns that work underneath.
Don't billionaires pay tax then?
More is the goal.
Oh, I see.
Pay more tax. Because you've got tax brackets, right?
Yes.
But once you reach a threshold of like $250,000, it's done. You pay a marginal tax, whereas if you're a billionaire, you should pay slightly more back into... Anyway, it depends on your opinion. But but yeah, so that sales company was established, 17 years ago, 16 years ago?
Wow.
And... And this is what I mean. I worked underneath a company called Credico. So it's kind of like a multi-level marketing firm, similar to like Herbalife, but more represented, where you're working directly with your upline, as in you're working their office, you build your own network and you work out. Then you incorporate your companies. You do run your companies, you do. And that was fantastic. That's one that took me to America. So that's one that I scaled from Edinburgh, had a lot of success there, signed up 1% of Scotland. cool stat, right? 1% of Scotland signed up to something between one of my sales staff.
Did you get the celebrity in Edinburgh? J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if I got her to sign up. Who knows? If I would have, they would have took a picture and stuff like that. But, yeah. it was quite funny. The sound staff, whenever they'd meet a celebrity and stuff like that, I was like, when we first started, we didn't say FaceTime because you couldn't. But you'd always get a picture of him. I'd be like, FaceTime, I want to talk to him. But yeah, amazing. I mean, even when I actually did sales, I met a couple of famous people. But my favourite person I ever met was Lee Evans. Yeah, so in Billericay in Essex, yeah, so I knocked on his brother answered the door, and he's like, yeah, what are you here for? I was like, talk, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I ain't coming, I don't deal with it, my brother deals with it. And I walk in and it's Lee Evans, the comedian. And I'm like looking at him and I'm like, I know you.
Was he sweating in his own house?
He is animated and talks with his hands. Yeah. And I'm selling, so I'm animated talking with my hands, and he's like talking back with his hands, and it's like we're doing kung fu to each other. But it's brilliant, and he's an amazing human being. And so we did get to meet a couple of celebrities along the way within our sales organisation. But that's what I mean. Where I started, it was I could literally, if my company wasn't doing well, I could phone another company that does identical and say, send your best sales staff. So then they would send their sales staff to my company. My sales staff would go out with their sales staff, go out in my territory, work my area. And before the end of the day, you've worked alongside of something, somebody that knows exactly what to do, and they've got their own tips and tricks. That's why I think network is vital to any successful business owner.
Mm.
Whether you're a large company, small company, mid-sized company, do you know everything? No. But when you're in the market of networking, where you're establishing relationships with people, I've learned so much. I thought I knew it all, being a business consultant. I thought, I know everything. I've been here to America, I've retired, blah, blah, blah. Then you come back and someone's like, well, did you know about this? I'm like, no. Did you know about that? I'm like, no. Even today, I'm like, okay, cool. So you've got the... It's fascinating.
Learning, isn't it? It's a learning process. I know Hayden Bloomfield, when he joined networking for the first time, the fee for that one was over £1,000. We all know who we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. And he said that he felt it was worth that money. And the reason he did was because the experience in the room, you know, he could tap into that for free. Yes, and he was like, you know, I can tap into all that experience in the room. And you mean you're not going to charge me to sit and talk to you for an hour? No. And he's like, wow, yeah, I definitely want some of that.
Was that when he was doing his gardening business?
That was when he was doing his gardening business, yeah.
That's where I first met him, actually.
Yeah, it was his first, that's where I met him. It was his first, his only £1,000 that he had, and he spent it on that. But he was living with his mum, I think, at the time. So you can do things like that when you're still at home, can't you? My kids have done it enough. So what led you down the AI route?
Honestly, I was sat there, I'll tell it in a funny way. So I sat there by myself in a villa for 3 months. I decided to take a separation from my business. So I said, you know what, boys and girls, you manage it, you run it, just pay me a small percentage and it's fine. So that's what I did in 2020. So I spent like the next 3-4 years kind of enjoying money, traveling the world, doing what you do when you exit your company. But I got bored, and it got to a point where I had a villa in the middle of mountains where I literally got my own company. It was fantastic, right? But my best friend was a brand new software called ChatGPT. And he was one of the first users of ChatGPT. And I was talking back and forth to him, and I was saying,
"Is it him or a her?"
Mine was it. I asked him, are you a him or a her? He goes, well, I'm obviously a whatever, but to be fair, I'm quite male. If you're, I don't know, my one said he's male. I said, well, what's your name? He goes, my name's Kai.
Mm.
I was like, okay, Kai, male, then that's who you are. So that's who he is at the minute. But I literally said, what do I do? He goes, well, with your previous experience and stuff, you either do one or two things. Either you go back to doing what you did before. That company, running the company that I ran, I had 166 salespeople in Miami. If you ever watched Wolf of Wall Street, yeah, it's a lifestyle. It's, you are the business. You've got to go in and motivate people, high five people. I'd walk into a room, everyone would literally pick you up and run you around the room. So it took a lot out of me.
Mm.
So I said to him, I want a business that allows me to not be drowned by humans. Something that gets me stuck where every morning I've got 15 text messages of people who are going to be late, right? Like, I'm going to respond, great, you're late, what am I going to do about it, right? And about 60 different problems by the end of it. And it says, why don't you work with AI, right? It basically can do a lot of what people can do, but you're not going to work. And I said, well, how do I work with AI? Guys, well, why don't you understand it, study it, and start producing your own products and services? So I started studying, educating myself. I actually did a degree in computing. Didn't use it for work, obviously. And I thought, you know what? I'm 33, 32. Why not have a look at something that actually is something that I studied? I love computing. And something I'm good at, and merge it to with something that I've been doing for the best part of 15 years. And that's how I ended up building an AI company. And that's where I met Sim and how, well, Sim actually worked for me, but Sim introduced me to another guy, Harris, and stuff like that. And they said, yeah. So I'd already been building the infrastructure for an AI company, and they already kind of was a little bit further forward. And that's where we built what we called it, the world's first talking website. Right. And we still believe it was, because ChatGPT couldn't find another one. So it was, and that was it. So we built something, and it was just trying to be at the beginning of the boom.
It's good. It's good when you do something first. I was the first person in the UK to run a speed date, and which was great. And it's really good when you're the first at something, isn't it?
It's exciting, and I always say to myself, like, a website is just a digital billboard. It's just a place where you put, it's a picture, isn't it, with text, and you've got images, and now you've got like some video and stuff like that. But there's no interaction back and forward with a website. Yeah. We did it in 2024. I think it's crazy that websites don't talk. I can't ask the website a question, right? And then I'm going to have to speak to a whole human, make a phone call, come away from it. So that's where we started off. And that was the first thing. And we thought we're going to be billionaires, right? As you do. At the beginning of AI, the blow up and stuff like that. But it's the adoption of AI where... I remember when I first actually come to a Synergy meeting, it was the first time that I actually kind of like put it in front of people and said, what do you lot think about AI? Linda, the amount of conversations I had about Terminator, I was like, it's a talking website. It's not going to murder your children kind of thing, right? And everyone had this kind of like functionality, like, no, it's going to replace humans. It's going to do
it's
that.
It's fear.
Mm. Massive fear. So the market's coming to fruition 2 years later now. For me, I like technology. I like to be at the forefront of things. I'm old school with how I've been taught by the people that like my coaches and mentors from my past. But for me, it's if there's a technology that can enable me to do something, can have more time with my friends, family, or traveling, whatever I enjoy doing, I'm going to use it, right?
So tell me how would you help a branded merchandise business?
I'm beyond help.
As an example, a company that does what Phil does,
what we do is, so we first do a 360 audit of your business, because the truth is how does AI help? AI is a software that basically can do anything. The first thing we look at, which is what everybody wants, is more customers, right? That's my skill set. That's where I spent the best part of 7-8 years, is basically the commercial officer putting clients in front of customers, generating revenue from. So that's something where I can specialize and go, look, what we'll do is we'll just basically build out, for instance, LinkedIn automation. Let's be honest. How many business owners right now enjoy posting social media content? It's
literally, I enjoy it.
I was going to say, Linda,
I just don't get time.
I enjoy it, but I'm not a business owner.
Incredible. It's important to do, but it's an incredible waste of time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? I find it a chore.
It is a chore. Like, for instance, I've come back from holiday, boat trips, we this amazing photos. I got my drone out. I did footage. My girlfriend's edited it. She's made all the content, it's absolutely amazing. Like, it's a real, you know, when you want to show off, I haven't even posted it yet, right? And I'm terrible. So the truth is we're in business in 2026 where you should have some social media, because people don't even trust you if you don't have social media anymore, right?
Mm.
So what we do is we automate that. You can give 100 bits of content, we build it out, then for the next 100 days, you ain't got to think about posting ever again. It's already done for you. So at least you know your audience. Because the truth is this, with social media, it's kind of like a TV show. If it's on once a year, it's unlikely to get watched.
I don't know if I trust it to do that. Would you trust it to do that? I'm not sure. I mean, I'm teaching mine at the moment, and one of the key things I had to teach it to say was hello rather than hiya. And there's been other key things as well that I'm trying to teach it. So it did some letters for me, and it repeated itself in two of the letters. And I'm like, you know, I wouldn't repeat myself. Don't repeat. Well, I do actually to my children all the time. Sorry, kids. But you know, it repeated itself, and it was meant to be two members giving them the synergy benefits, and it repeated the benefit 1 month after another. And I'm like, five and six is the same. You know, this is meant to be 12 completely different ones. So I felt I was having to go back a lot and just keep going over it with them.
So this is what I do. Instead of using generic AI, ChatGPT, that can make flaws, we build you your own bespoke output. So for instance, what I've got mine to do is I took every WhatsApp message I've got. So we're talking about nearly a gigabyte of content of me texting and conversating with humans. And every Google, like every email that I've ever sent through my Google profile. So it's got that. It doesn't talk like ChatGPT or like someone who's way more educated than I.
Oh, so then it talks like you. So you've educated it.
It's indistinguishable.
Right.
It's indistinguishable. It's just imagine me on my game all the time. So instead of having some generic output, it's a bespoke AI built for you. But this is what I mean. So what we do is different levels of it. So we can use AI for automation, where we just take you, your content, what you want to write, how you want to write it, and then we just schedule it to auto-post at the most popular times, right? You've got the second level where, say, for instance, we were talking about your CRM earlier. A lot of people have got these customers, this information. They know their business, but they're doing nothing with data. Now, if you look at the largest companies on earth, they pay trillions for data. Data is key for everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? People don't realize that we've had our cookies being stolen, right? Cookies.
So can AI work out, tell you what your data is? What can it do with that?
So imagine, for instance, that if you're a company that's been going for, say, the past 3-4 years, right? You've got X amount of customers. You've got X amount of contacts. You've got X amount of people that have reached into you. It can go and find the most, say, for instance, your target profile. It can say, hey, this might be where you're actually marketing your products and services to today. But instead, why don't you actually look at these customers, because they have a better lifetime value?
Oh, okay.
Most people might not track that. But for instance, I was having a conversation with someone the other day. I said, if you've got a customer paying me £1,000 a month for the next year, that's £12,000 a year, fantastic. But I'd much prefer to give that service for £300 a month, take such a massive cut, but have them for the next 15 years of my life, 20 years, 30 years, for as long as their business is established. Because the lifetime value of that client then becomes five times the value. And these are little things that, like, how do you do that? Unless you're a mathematician that's in accounts and you sit down, and by the time you've done it, it's kind of like it takes months and months and months. I mean, I run a sales firm where we were so meticulous with like the output of where we target our customers. It's what I did for a living. And I wasn't even that good. I mean, we're incredible at targeting exactly your specific type of customers. But today, I don't do it anymore. It's automated. So anyone who comes into my CRM, it can generate exactly who to target. Then it changes the campaigns. So to give you a full, I don't know if I'm not, let's overwhelm the world, right? So basically right now, a customer comes to my website, they can text me, message me, however they contact me, the AI can then pull more data from them, right? So once you give that release of information of cookies, then it can go back to your LinkedIn, your Facebook, who you are, where you're from, where your business is, how much money is generated, everything, right? It pulls that all into a data sheet. And then every single month on the 28th, it'll then tell me exactly what type of customers to target and push out information for. right? That way I can actually be more picky and choosy with who I bring on board, as opposed to what most companies do is just you're just trying to swing and try to catch as many customers. Whereas for me now, it allows me to manage my clients and customers around my time.
Wow. So, interesting, isn't it?
So I'm terrible at putting out content, but every month I've got a content creator. So it goes through every company in the world, this similar AI consultancy as me, and it steals everything they've got and just builds something better. But I don't have to do that. So, because you know what it's like. We sit there and we look at our competitors and stuff like that, and you try to, but you can't conjugate the information to go, well, actually, well, with AI, what I can do is I can look at every LinkedIn post that's had AI consulting, blah, 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 take it, and then I formulate something that basically is better than anything else or the most popular. You can, and that's the thing with AI, is no one-stop shop. Because everyone says you want to niche down, you want to niche down. It's like, well, no.
I do, yeah.
What with myself is I want to be able to solve or help a person's problem where I can, not this is what I do. What we do is we basically figure out where it can be used. Perfect examples, like I had a conversation with an accountant at Synergy, made me laugh. He goes, yeah, so what I do nowadays with my meetings is I'll sit down and I'll let my phone record the conversation. And then the AI does it. I'm like, so what did you do then?
Yeah.
What did you actually do then, right? That's the world we live in. So what I do now more so, because remember we had my old company, which is more just direct software, is consulting. AI can enhance yourself, your business, what you do for a living, how you do things. It just enables you to become better at what you do, gives you more time, and gives you more efficiency.
I have found that, actually, when I've used it, I've found that it's given me more time and been quite effective, actually. So, oh, that's really interesting. Have either of you got any questions?
No, we must have a one-to-one.
Definitely.
It's fascinating, but what I find is that you've explained it in a way that lots of other people don't. And actually, the reason I stayed away from it for so long was because I knew I needed it. I actually bought loads of books and started reading about it and gave up. It's like cryptocurrency. I started that as well and then gave up until I found somebody who could really help me. And I think it's about actually what you've said, finding out what does the business or the person want to get out of it, and then actually having somebody like yourself to be able to say, right, this is how you approach it.
Yeah, because you've got to imagine. So, I mean, I'll give you three types of clients. She got a small business like Amy. So she's a smaller business. She wants to do simple outreach and she's trying to manage multiple social media. So for her, she finds herself stuck with having to be at these events, trying to do this and this, then taking pictures, then trying to upload it. I'm like, look, literally once a month, we can jump on a call. We actually get on more calls, but once a month we can jump on a call, you give me the content and then we'll schedule your post. So she doesn't have to think, because you can take 10 10 pictures at one meeting, then post once a week. The thing is with algorithm, like a social media algorithm, is it's if you own LinkedIn, you don't want someone to post once, make £1 million. You want them online, active, posting every single day.
Yeah, that's right.
YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram.
They're all the same.
They're all the same. They want you active on their that's so they're going to reward you for doing that. But I don't have time to sit on social media all day, right? No, you'd got fired for it 5 years ago if you sat on social media all day, right? So for now, it's just automating stuff like that. Or if you go to a mid-sized company, say, for instance, one with like 10, 15, 25, 30 staff, well, a lot of what you'll find is a lot of the staff are getting paid for X amount of money. And statistically, I think they estimate so 40% of the hours you pay someone is what they actually work, right? So if you're paying someone for 8 hours a day, they're actually only working 3.5 hours. If you physically sat down and told them to go home and do the same job, they figured this out from remote workers, right? They'll do the same amount in 3.5 hours than what they're doing in eight hours inside an office space, right? Crazy. So nearly 60% of what you invest, if you've got 15 staff and you're paying them an average of 30,000, that's 450,000, you're looking at nearly 50% of that. That's nearly £250,000 you're wasting down the drain, and that's half your budget. It's fascinating to me. So with these companies, what we're doing now is going, well, look, if they're there for 8 hours and they can do certain things a little bit faster, instead of having them sit and read this whole document and take the data and put it here and pass it to the marketing team, they can just pull it, send it straight away. Then they can actually work on what they're good at or what they've been hired for. Because you understand when you get a job role, you remember it in hospitality, right? Well, this is my job, but you've got to do this, and this. So you end up doing so much more, but this is what you've been hired for, what you're good at. Well, what AI allows people to do is go back to doing what they're good at, all the mundane tasks, all the repetitive stuff you don't have to do. It just kind of like empowers them to go back to that. So like mid-sized companies.
I don't think, for me, social media isn't mundane. I enjoy reading the content. I enjoy commenting on the content, particularly of my members, to see where they've, you know, what they're doing, what they're up to. And I like commenting on it because I like them to see that I am commenting on it. And I think people would know if it was AI commenting for me.
I mean,
although maybe it'd go through and comment on loads of people I don't know. That might be handy.
And that's what it does. It just is. And then you've got the large companies. So for instance, companies that have got databases that have been established for 15, 20 years, right? They have an email list of 60, 70,000 people. Now they don't value clients the same as they don't value a client because they've got 50,000 people paying them every month. They just need to get out to the customers because it's just a spray and pray. But when you enhance that with AI, it's more bespoke. So it's like every single email you're sending out, instead of sending 10,000 generic emails, you're sending 10,000 bespoke emails to people, so it's directly to them.
Yes, yeah, right? Yeah.
And if it's, say, for instance, like on LinkedIn, say you manage a LinkedIn account that's larger and you're getting a couple of hundred people every day messaging you, you don't have time to respond to them all.
No.
So then what you can do is you can actually functionally go through who matters. You speak to the people who matters, but everybody else is getting caught. And what it's doing is just enabling everybody to kind of, everybody's become a part of your business instead of just what you can physically do yourself.
Well, I think that's really interesting. Thank you so much, Jason. I now want to do a shout out, actually, for Sharon, because she asked me to do this before. But she's actually working with Mates Dunbar Council, same as me. So Sharon Harvey of SLH Bookkeeping and Accounts is working in partnership with Mates Dunbar Council to provide a free webinar, Making Tax Digital, How It Affects You, June the 17th, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Tickets are available on Eventbrite. So register there. You know, making tax digital is, you know, something that does affect everybody. So it's definitely worth getting yourself along to that and seeing what Sharon's doing. So I also would like to. Is there any other? When did you say Leanne's event is? When did you say that is?
It's the 30th of June.
So we have got an event on the 30th of June as well, which is our Whitstable event.
Right.
10:30 a.m, which I think Mike is coming to.
I think Michael's coming to that one, yeah.
And we also have Dartford, which is Rowhill Grange. They're one of our sponsors, and that's an amazing event. I mean, it's a
lovely venue as well.
Oh, 6:30 in the evening, and the food there is just wonderful, and the venue is wonderful. We're talking to them about doing potentially a wellbeing event, and we're actually going to be doing another big summit, but our summit is going to be by invitation only. And the reason it is going to be is because we had 40 people not turn up to the last one, so I always overbook, which, you know, you do. I'm used to it. I've been doing events for a long time, so I've always overbooked everything. It was great when I used to overbook some of the dinner dances and everyone was paying me like 50 quid for a ticket. And, if I got 10 not turn up, is when they all turned up. I was that's when I was in trouble. But anyway, Dartford is great. We've got four new members joined Dartford this month. So it's going to be four new people there. So that's really good. Another one is it's going to be a boys. So I'm going backwards. I don't know if you noticed, but it's going to be a boys only radio show next time. So I'm away on holiday. So Paul Andrews is hostingand then we've got Chris Endersby, my business partner, is co-hosting. And our guests are Michael Marshall of Marshall's Drones.
Great guy.
Does some brilliant work. Yeah. Really great guy. Yeah.
Really interesting backstory about Michael as well. Ex-military. Really, really nice guy.
So that's going to be a really great show. And then, of course, you've got the fuzzy logic. So Sam Farzad is coming on, always entertaining. He did all of the visuals and everything for our last summit. Fantastic. And, of course, he sponsors the radio show as well. So really good. And then the day before I'm speaking, so the day of FSB, we're doing the FSB. Then we're doing Synergy Networking at FSB at Gravesend. And then we're going down to Pints and Prosecco, which is going to be with Lisa and Stephanie. So that's on the 18th, Thursday the 18th. And then the day before that, we've got Wadhurst Summer Solstice. So Wadhurst Castle approached us and asked us to do a networking event at their beautiful, it's such a beautiful venue. So it's a private residence, so they're only open through the summer. So very popular for weddings and things like that. But it's just such a beautiful venue. So we're there. We do have a sponsorship packages available. If anyone is interested, then we're doing sponsorship packages where you can talk at the event and you can also, you know, bring all your promotional material and everything. And we've got someone who's just about to speak to tell you how great promotional material is. And then just two more for you. So Tuesday the 16th, we're doing Canterbury, 10:30 in the morning. I think you're coming too, Phil.
I am, yeah. Granville,
well,
isn't it?
You're coming as well. That's at the Granville. They make the most amazing breakfast for us. It's all freshly made in the morning. Wow. I mean, but they've done that for 2 months now, and it's really nice, savoury pastries, and oh, it's really nice anyway. So that's that one. And then we have got loads of visitors coming to the Maidstone event on Monday the 15th, so the day before. So busy old week that week. I'm glad I'm going on holiday the following week. So it's 18:30 at our sponsor's hotel. It's the Arida Hotel in Maidstone, and there's already 30 people booked into that, so there's only 6 places left. So if anyone's interested in coming to that, then that's going to be an absolutely amazing event. So I'm going to play a couple of adverts and then we're going to go to the wonderful Phil. So listen in for the adverts.
Looking for the perfect stay in Maidstone? Discover comfort, style and convenience at Arida Hotels Maidstone. Whether you're visiting for business or a weekend escape, enjoy spacious rooms, a fully equipped gym, relaxing spa facilities and delicious dining, all under one roof. With easy access to local Kentish attractions and excellent service from check-in to check-out, your stay is in great hands. Book today at Arida Hotels Maidstone, where every visit feels just right.
Linda Cloak on the Business Networking Show.
Tired of IT headaches? Slow computers? Security worries? Lost files? Sound familiar? We've got your back. As Kent's leading IT support partner, we keep your business running smoothly, securely and stress-free. Call 0179-534-2362 now and get your IT sorted.
Okay, so that was the lovely ITMS, Tom Revley there, and he's been really busy working in schools. He does a lot of work for schools and accountants and helps them out with their IT problems. But now we're going to go to the man who helps organisations turn attention into revenue.
Mm.
So how did you find Mike of Bay Branded Merch? Because you're mainly doing that now? Or?
Yes, yeah. Well, yes, I would say mostly doing that now, yes. So, incidentally, one of the voiceovers there, Patrick Boniface. I've known Patrick for 30 years.
Wow.
Through radio stuff. So, yeah. It's interesting to hear his voice pop up in places.
I know.
Sounds like Terry Wogan is still with us.
He really has got a good radio voice, hasn't he? Really good voice,
So, yeah, how did I find Mike? Well, I was working in a previous role and I was at the Business Over Breakfast networking group in Faversham and Sittingbourne at the time. And Mike was there and we just got chatting, and you know how when you go to networking groups you then develop potential friendships as well. Mike and I got really well, and then when the opportunity came up to go and kind of, you know, looking for something else earlier part of this year, Mike was like, why don't you come along and, you know, work with me? So I was like, so that's where I am at the moment.
Brilliant. Okay. And you're regularly coming to Synergy.
Yeah.
So can I just ask you, you know, you've been networking for a long time, you've done your own radio show and everything. What do you find is different about Synergy, and which one do you, be completely honest, because I love honest feedback, which type of networking do you prefer to go to?
Do you know what? I think they all work in hand in hand, and that's not me sitting on the fence, because anyone who knows me knows I don't like to sit on the fence on stuff. But I think they all work hand in hand. So I started networking, quite a while ago, in the role when I was part of the radio station in Ashford, Radio Ashford. And I got to go along to the Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce after hours events that would happen at the Conningbrook Hotel. And they were all good fun, but they were a little bit disorganized. Just started networking with people. One of my good friends, a guy called Andy Henderson, recently sold up his business, Invictor Safety. He said, oh, come along to another one, breakfast one in the morning. And at that time I was like, really? Breakfast? But went along and again, just kind of clicked in the room. Then the pandemic hit. I stopped doing radio for that period. Then went into different sectors. And then literally sort of like 3 years ago, got myself into a role again where I needed to be networking. And so went straight back to what I'd done before. And since then, networking has grown massively for me. It's, for me, as we've said already, it's not just about working with the people in the room. Mm-hmm. It's talking with everybody in the room and actually thinking, oh, they know that. They want someone who wants that business, you know. Mm-hmm. So whilst I'm not a business connector, I like to think that I can connect people together.
I think, to be honest, that when you go networking, you automatically are. Everyone is. Absolutely. Yeah. Because you're listening out for what people need and you're then thinking, aha, I know, I can give them that or I can give them this.
Absolutely, yeah.
So one of the first things we did was got branded workwear.
Yeah.
And I think that's massively differentiated us from other networking groups.
Yeah.
And how do you find that that works within the networking environment?
Well, I'm not kind of, backwards in coming forward. So I turned up at networking events a lot of the time. We're not in a bright orange branded merch shirt, which, given my stature, makes me look like a bit of a space hopper. But the point being is I stand out in a room. There was we went to an event recently where it was an event in Rochester, and it was tendering for business for the Lower Thames Crossing that was coming up. And it was basically an education event. This is how you would tender for business with the Lower Thames Crossing. And so myself and my colleague Pat, who also works with us at Bay Branded Merch, went to the event. He was there in sort of like the dark coloured shirt. I was there in my bright orange, and I was the loudest person in the room. Everyone there was grey, beige, black, dark blue. And actually, we took a photo of that, and that's probably my most viewed photo on LinkedIn, because it was just that standout morning. It's like, just be present in the room, be the light, and go and talk to people. So that's kind of how it works. So I think branded workwear in a networking event, I don't know, the organisers, do they need to really? I'd love your workwear, but do you need to do it in a networking event? I don't necessarily think you do in terms of you organising it.
But when we go to other ones, we do.
Well, when you go to other events, you're representing. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think in that respect, yes. Mm. But I think when you're organising your own, no, because they expect to see you or Laura or Chris there.
I think they'd be quite surprised if we turned up in anything that wasn't
civvies,
branded now.
Civvies, yeah.
They would be quite shocked, you know, because we've done it from day one. Mm. So I think it would come as quite a surprise if we turned up.
But I think the synergy ideal isn't just about the uniform that you're wearing, the workwear that you're wearing. It's the methodology behind it. It's the, if you're in a room with a lot of the same people all the time, there's only so many times you can do your 60-second pitch, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. It's about that variety. So those questions on the table. So my first experience of a synergy networking event was at the Kent Business Show.
Mm.
That chaos that was the Kent Business Show at the Ashford International Hotel.
Yeah.
That was a really good introduction to it because you had to be attentive because it was so loud in
it
there.
It was.
Mm. You know, no one, if you've been to a synergy event, you know that someone rings a bell. Yeah, that got drowned out. It was just so loud in there. So you had to be attentive to get the kind of results out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think looking at the questions on that particular day were really helpful. And that's that's kind of the USP that Synergy has got, is that they don't just want to talk about what the business is. Talk about what you can interact over. Mm. You know, there was one of the questions that was on the other night, is that what piece of software have you started using this year which has made it more difficult for your business? Now, everyone's talking positively about AI at the moment. Well, most people are. Mm. But some people are using software which hasn't quite worked out for them. Mm-hmm. Why is that important to discuss it? Well, potential linking up with people to say, you know, it doesn't work, et cetera, et cetera.
Can I just say FSB switched last year to, I won't say which company it was, and it's been a total nightmare with the software. Mm-hmm. We all, it's just been so hard. Mm. It's just gone from one day being on one system to another day on another system that I'm sure will help us, but there's just been so many glitches and challenges. It's been awful. Mm. So yeah. I'm sorry I missed that event.
it's really, you know, that's the USP for it for me, is actually having those topics of conversation that you wouldn't normally get when you're in a room with 130 people, a low ceiling, it's very loud, everyone stands by the coffee machine. Mm-hmm. These are really integral conversations that, in order to build that trust and relationship, you know, it's outstanding.
And I think, you know, one of the things I learned right in the early days of networking is you network through the room, not to the room. Mm, so yeah. When you are getting to know someone on that deeper level, that's what helps you network through the room, because something that maybe, you know, it can't click when you're standing up doing a 60 seconds, when you're hearing someone say something like that, it's like, oh, wow, yeah. Mm. I know someone who can do that, and it just clicks in your mind, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, brilliant. Okay, funny enough, Confident, Cash Flow Confident, what's the name of the company? Adrian's. I had it in my head just a minute ago. They wear bright pink T-shirts,
yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah.
So I quite often film him. So anyone that's wearing branded merch at my events, I film them and get it into the video, especially when it's on the back.
The photos of me at the Ashford event on Monday night, I'm there in my orange.
Yeah, you were there in your orange, yeah. That's right. Yeah, so you were standing out. Yes, that's right. Right. Yeah. Have you got it on the back of the T-shirt or just on the front?
Just on the front.
Right, okay, yeah.
Because I don't stand with my back to people generally. So.
No, but I do, the people who've got it on the back, I do video, I always get it in the video when they're sitting down. I go around and I feel, no, I'm like, this person.
Do you know what, people have different ideas about where their branding should be. Should it be on the back? Should it be on the front? We're doing some work with an organisation at the moment where, again, for ladies, mm-hmm. Logos on the front of T-shirts tend to be in the middle there, or, you know. Mm. And what that causes sometimes is people to be looking at the logo and actually focusing on maybe areas they shouldn't be. And people do feel uncomfortable with that. Mm. So that's why we work to maybe logo at the top, on the shoulder, on the back, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really what that sort of individual business wants their branding workwear to look like. And I think, you know, the other branding workwear companies that are out there will say the same thing. You know, it's down to the individual. There is no one set way to do anything.
Well, we did a swap with a company for our first lot of branded workwear, and we did the swap, and they said to us, "Right, well, we'll put our name on the sleeve." So I was like, "Yeah, okay." And every flipping photograph has got his brand in there, not ours, because we've always turned to the side. So I was like, "Oh dear, maybe we should have put his on the front and ours on the side."
Yeah.
So what other things do you do? Because you do other things.
So, yeah.
I bought some pens in the early days of you being members from you. So.
Yeah. Oh, well, everything, really. It's not just branded workwear. I mean, everything is brandable. Everything. So if you can imagine it, we can help you brand it. So, for example, Jane is here on my right here with a tiny little notebook. Not got through us, but that might change in the future. It's branded. Literally, people still use notebooks. You know, I've got one here as well, you know. Things that represent your business. Ultimately, if you've got something with your logo on it, your business logo on it, and you're not prepared to use it yourself, why are you giving it to your clients? Mm. Why are you giving it to your staff? Why are you actually saying, this is what my business is representing? So, again, working with a potential client who is looking to do, it's a fire safety company. And they were, we were entered into discussions about getting stress balls in the state of fire extinguishers, because that's something that no one else will have other than, you know, a stress ball shaped in fire extinguisher with their logo on it.
Mm.
It's so many, it's the way of representing. It's also what your merchandise is for. So is your merchandise for that reach? So going to expo events, events like we are at the FSB boot camp next week, we're exhibiting there. We'll have some merchandise there as well. Mm-hmm. But is it just that's the reason why you want merch? Is it because you want to reach out to potential clients? Is it because you want to actually thank the clients you've got for giving you their, gifting to them because they've spent a lot of money with you? Thank you very much indeed. Is it because you've got new starters coming into your business and you want to give them branded so they feel part of the team straight away? It's working with a business to develop a partnership so that if when things happen, they can come to you and go, I've got this expo coming up in 3 weeks' time. Can we get the stuff sorted out? We've got these new starters. We've got a new influx of apprentices coming in. Can we get there? You've got that relationship going. We won't lie. We're not the cheapest out there. You can by all means go online and go to people like Blizzard Print and Four Imprint and stuff like that.
Mm.
The problem with those is that they're order takers. They're machines. Mm. And if you're very busy, we're all very busy in business, as you've said earlier on. We're all very busy in business. If you approve something and it's wrong, there's a typo on it, et cetera, then, and you've approved it, that's what goes on it.
Mm.
And that's what comes out. And they'll go, oh, well, you approved it, never mind.
Mm.
You know, whereas actually we want to work with our clients and we'll proofread it. We'll say, that logo doesn't look quite right there. We want to get the dimension on it slightly differently. Or we'll work with them to provide that personalised service so they can come to us when they want to do anything that needs branding.
What's the weirdest thing you've done?
The weirdest, it's not so much a weirdest item, because I mean, I've only been with Mike since like February. One thing I will say, and I won't go into any more than this, is that Mike has had an order through from Bonnie Blue's solicitors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you know who she is, do you know who she is?
No.
Do you know who she is?
Yeah, yes. Social media.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not going to say any more than that. Some people will know. I suggest you look at it afterwards. That was quite a weird one.
Don't look it.
Okay.
But the point being is that we you know, anything is brandable. If you are, you know, if you've got the imagination, you want that to reach out to your clients to resemble your business. You know, sorry, represent your business. Lindsay Smith, PSM Recruitment, lovely lady, come up with a fantastic idea about stress balls in the shape of feet. So if you're probably not old enough to remember Monty Python in its prime, with the big feet that come down, etc. That kind of shape design in a stress ball with the logo on it, get your foot in the door.
My sister, I shared a bedroom with her and she had those feet going right across the ceiling.
The point being is it's the idea that you've got in your head, you know. So anything can be rubber ducks. Seem to be the sort of the big thing in recent times. There's actually shops that sell rubber ducks.
I know. There's a shop in, where did I go? I went over to somewhere, Croatia.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the beautiful city there? They had a shop that just sold rubber ducks.
They have one in Amsterdam. I think it's a brand.
Is it?
There's a shop in Westfield, Stratford. There's a shop in London Bridge train station.
Wow.
And actually, before the show started today, I went to the toilet. There's about 15
I know.
On the side in there.
I know.
Different size rubber duck. Anyway, I've got to present you with your duck.
Oh, I'm being presented. Where's my phone?
Yeah.
With a duck.
Yeah.
If you ever did.
There we go. Right. It's a duck with the South Korea badge on it.
Oh, okay. Because that's my
and
country.
The Bay branded merch logo on the back.
Oh, so. Right, okay, so I bet it on his bottom.
Yeah.
See, it's on the back.
There we
works.
Go, so there's your
thank
there's
you.
Your rubber duck. So this has all come as part of a campaign that we decided to do to help one of our Kent charities, a charity that many of us know, called Hypo Hounds.
Very yes, great. I've just had an opening for a charity, actually, so I need to reach out to them.
Yeah. Hypo Hounds are a brilliant organisation. Essentially, they provide dogs that support families who've got young people with type 1 diabetes.
Mm.
It spots, you know, potentially if hypos are going to happen, et cetera, supports them in that way. They're an amazing charity. Jane is an inspirational lady, Jane Pearman. But as the same with everyone in the charitable sector at the moment, they're struggling with funding and finance, et cetera. And so we decided, let's get on board, let's do a little bit of a thing with them. And so with the World Cup starting tomorrow, Thursday, it's kind of like, well, let's do something. So branded ducks are something that I've done in the past. So my boss, Michael, decided to brand up 48 rubber ducks with 48 different flags. And we sold these ducks at £20 a pop for the charity, prizes to the first, second, third, fourth, and the rest of the money going to Hyper Hands.
Actually, I might give mine to Chris because Chris will watch it and he'll track it as well.
Well, there you go. I've got wall charts as well for you.
I'll give this to Chris and then he will track it. As long as I get the rubber duck back, that's absolutely fine.
If you want to use it or not.
While we're talking about charities, can we mention 21 Together's quiz, which is on the 17th of July?
If you want to, yeah.
Yeah, because you're doing it, aren't you, Quizmaster?
Yes. Yes.
So that's another thing that you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Quizmasters, yeah.
So how long have you been doing that?
I've been running quizzes probably for 9-10 years now.
Okay.
In different forms, pen and paper, PowerPoint quizzes, and my favourite, which is speed quizzing, which is basically that you use your phone or a tablet and answer on that.
Is that what we're doing?
Yes, we're doing it online.
I'm dreading it.
The medium of Zoom. Well, this is a bit different.
Right.
Essentially, I love. I'm running a quiz tonight. Running it in the Elwick Club in Ashford to raise money for Fair Share.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pen and paper quiz, good old fashioned one. But pen and paper. What happens is at the end of the round, when you filled in a round, you've got to find a team to swap the bit of paper with.
Yes.
And then everyone says, oh, no, I'm just still writing down my answers. I'm still writing. One of their team's gone to the bathroom, checked out Google, come back and said, I've just looked that one up. Down, with the speed quizzing thing on phones.
Dad, we found out.
Yes. Oh, I've done it. With the speed quizzing on the phones, you answer literally. You've got 10 seconds to answer, hence the speed. And there are different question types. So there's like number questions, there's dates, there's years, there's multiple choice. There's sequence. If you've seen Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, there's the first part on that. We have to put things in order. Could be to spell out a word, could be like shortest to tallest, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's letters questions where you only have to put in the first letter of the answer. So you might have completely the wrong answer, but if it starts with the same letter as the right one, you still get the points. And it makes it a game show rather than a quiz per se.
Yeah, yeah.
So you might have absolutely no idea, but still get the points. Started these in pubs. And then the pandemic hit, and because I was working at the radio station at the time, and I'd only been doing that about 9 months, I didn't have a year's worth of accounts. So dear old Rishi said, sorry, no support for you because you didn't have a year's worth of accounts. So I had to look at other ways of diversifying it. And the company that runs the software that we use called Speed Quizzing, they developed an online version.
Oh.
And so I started holding them every week. People pay a couple of quid a time to join, et cetera, et cetera. There was prize money going, et cetera. It was good fun like that. And then some charities started coming to me. Mm-hmm. First one that came to me, well, actually, I did one for the Women in Business Network, actually. Michelle Dowsett, who was part of that at that time, she actually recruited me to do one for their network.
Mm-hmm.
And then the charity Holding On Letting Go got me involved, the Wisdom Hospice got me doing them for there. I even got them doing for Mind up in the Newcastle area,
mm-hmm.
Because you could do them on Zoom and people could sit in that, you know, they weren't going out. No one was allowed to go out. You could sit and quiz in your own comfort of your own lounge with other people. The ones that I used to do at home, you know, like family members who they couldn't go and see because they weren't allowed to travel, but that were maybe the other end of the country, they would sit on a Zoom call taking part in a quiz. So it's about putting everyone together. Then we started getting friends and family in Europe as well.
So so when they do that, how does it work? Are they one team or?
No, they're individual teams. So you're basically, you've got like literally.
So you've got a family on Zoom.
Yeah.
But if one family's in one house and the other one's in the other house.
Then they're competing against each other.
They're competing against each other.
Yeah. Right. And the best thing about it is that when everyone's on Zoom and all their cameras are on, and they put a really stupid answer in, I'm watching them on Zoom. So in these 10 seconds, I'm looking at, I can't believe they put, you know, like we had one the other day. How many letters in the word omnipotent or something like that? And the answer is 10. But someone obviously got carried away the other day and pressed in 1,000. And of course, you're looking at it and they're arguing in their house or they're, you know, laughing at each other. And then I'm laughing at them highlighting them on the Zoom call so everyone else can see them laughing as well. So it is about watching and basically trying to make it as interactive as you possibly can.
Yeah, yeah.
Charities weren't able to fundraise in the standard ways during the pandemic.
Mm.
So these quizzes were raising 300-400 quid for charities when they couldn't go out and do any other.
Mm.
So I still do them now. People who
What's the charge for the 21 Together one?
The charge for the 21 Together one, I think it's £6 per person.
That's nothing, is it?
So,
nothing.
You know, and that's a charity night as well.
Mm.
You know, raises money for charity. It's great. You know, I think the most we've ever had teams we've ever had on a quiz ever was 72 on the Zoom call.
Mm.
Well, if there's three members per team and they're each paying, you know, that's quite a lot of money for charity.
Mm.
And yeah, it's good fun. They're good fun to do. I get the best seat in the house because literally I get to watch everyone on Zoom laughing or realising that they don't know as much, or if they've got a question wrong, but it starts with the same letter.
Or cheating.
Yeah, well, we only ever had to call out one team for cheating.
I think when I'm in it, because obviously it's 21, I didn't want to do it on my own. I think what I'm going to do is either go to Chris and Laura's and do it with them,
mm-hmm.
or sit behind my sofa.
What, so you like Gogglebox? So all we get to see is your sofa.
Yeah.
But I'll still be able to see your wrong answers.
Yeah, I know. There'll be a lot of them, for sure.
No, trust me, it will be a really fun night. And that's the thing, it's a real fun night. Plus also, if you have a bit of a disaster in round, there's always ways to get lower down, back up.
Yes, you know, yeah.
Sort of hop around and stuff like that. It's just about keeping people involved and interested and having a good night without actually having to leave your house.
So how did you get into radio? Because quizzes is quite a sort of, it's quite a nice lead on from being on radio, isn't it? It's quite... Because you were Ashford Radio and you did that freelance for a year.
Yeah. I got involved in, like a lot of the old DJs did, hospital radio back in the 90s.
Mm.
And I joined because I was a bit of a geek with my tapes at the time and I wanted to kind of get into, like, they had an advert
for a record. They're what we had in the old days for music.
Yeah. We didn't even have CDs in the studio back then.
No.
It was literally everything was on 7-inch single or vinyl, with scratchy black plastic, as we called it. And they just needed a librarian to sort stuff out. And I thought, yeah, this is me, bit of me. And then about 6 months after, they said, why don't you try for presenting? And when I first did it, it was kind of like I tried to be like the voiceover guys, you know, the guy on X Factor. Obviously, this is well before his time. As you know, hi, trying to sound, you know, sound like that. And it kind of, for me, it just kind of flowed. After about sort of 6 months of presenting in normal style rather than the voiceover man, I just got into it. I got really into it. There was a temporary radio station set up in Ashford back end of 1995, got involved with that. And from then on, literally, if there was a radio station setting up in Ashford for a little while, I was generally on it, you know, because I'd put myself forward and go, yeah. It's great fun. Wasn't doing it for any money. Just, you know, it was great fun to do. It was a hobby. And then got to do it as a job for about a year, going to different parts of the country, helping set up radio stations in different parts of the country with a view to helping those stations, those kind of cities develop. This was before the big boom in radio.
Yeah.
So I went to Ipswich and did some time in Ipswich, up in Hull, did one, up in Northallerton, very north of England, in Banbury, Oxfordshire. Went to different locations, basically just going there a few weeks before the station goes on air to build a bit of a relationship with the community.
Mm.
Say, we're doing this station. Do you want to come in, be part of it? Then when the station's on air, I'm on air every day, sort of like in the middle of the day slot. And then after the station's finished, we hang around for a bit and, you know, a few days, talk to people in the area. How did you think, et cetera, et cetera. Great. We've got local people who want to be involved. When the license comes up for grabs through the Ofcom, then we can go for the license and we can help you build it. And I did that for about a year and it was great fun. And then I got, bizarrely enough, this is possible, I got homesick for Ashford. So that's when I ended up back at home. Went to a job working in a call centre for 11 years and then just kind of grew from there. And that's kind of then fell into networking and business development and getting community engagement, etc. So, yeah, all great fun. And Paul Andrews, who I know is kind of like a big part of here, Paul and I go quite a way back. I think we're talking about 12 years. And there was a big business event. I think it was the 2020 of when, or Kent Business Show or something like that in Maidstone.
Yeah.
And I actually ended up producing him one day. So took all the radio gear literally out into this show. So I'm sat there with my headphones on, mixing it all day, listening to him and Jules interview people, etc. And it was just a great fun day. And I've, you know, I don't think you'll ever get radio out of me. It's the most consistent thing I've done since I was a teenager, and I'm not a teenager anymore.
No. Right, I just want to, I mean, we've got another 10 minutes, but I just want to make sure that everyone says how we get hold of you. So if somebody wants some branded merchandise, how can they get hold of you, Phil?
Listen, LinkedIn is where I tend to reside. Mm-hmm. People have connected with me on there. And what you were saying earlier on about actually social media being feeling a chore, do you know what? If it's a chore, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, I love it.
So it should be something that you want to cultivate and you want to grow. Mm. And a big shout again to Michelle Dowsett and other people like that who've kind of helped me grow my LinkedIn presence and grow my networking over the few years. So, yeah, LinkedIn, Phil Thorne, two L's on Phil. Ping me a message there and we'll have a chat. Let's talk about some merch.
Yeah, Michelle comes to our Kings Hill corporate group now. Yeah. And, I was her first ever customer.
Wow.
I know, yeah. She helped me in Click. So when she first started. Yeah, lovely lady.
Yeah.
And how would they get a hold of you, Jane?
I'm contactable by phone, 07583 642202.
Mm-hmm.
Jane.Martin at FSB. ReadySugarBravo.org.uk and also on LinkedIn as the Business Connector. So please do get in touch. I'd love to have a chat.
Brilliant. Okay, and Jason?
BritishAIConsulting.com or Jason Coate, the only one in the world.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Well, I never.
Random, right?
How do you know that?
AI.
I'm not the only Linda Cloak. There's two of us.
Yeah, but there's only one, really.
There's only one in the cloud.
Yeah. Can I have a quick question for you, actually? So AI, obviously there is a lot of negativity about it. So if you were encouraging someone to use it for the first time, just to kind of which of the search, the engines, would you recommend that they use?
Oh, good question.
Mm. Anthropic Claude.
Right, okay.
Oh.
He is, ChatGPT is very generic.
Mm-hmm.
The problem people have with AI is that it's either you really believe everything it says,
right,
or you're educated, understand that you shouldn't believe everything that you listen to or hear.
Yeah.
But yeah, Anthropic Claude is the best version.
Okay.
So if you're just going to just pick up something, you want to learn it, create some images, do some fun things.
Why is he the best one?
He's just the company itself. It depends on how you want to look at it in two different directions. So,
because that's not free, is it? Because I've looked at it.
You do have a free version of it.
Oh, right, okay.
And they're all limited. So if you want to do it free, download them all.
Mm.
When you run out of credits on one, just move to the other, right? But Claude is literally it's the software itself. It can be built into your lifestyle. ChatGPT is just AI. It's very away from you as a business. It's very away from your company. It doesn't have integrations into Gmail. But if you can learn how to make Anthropic a part of your daily life in your business, you'll find that 95% of the mundane things you've been doing, you're not going to have to do.
Mm.
Conversations with it is very humanized.
What about Copilot? Is that
terrible,
the same?
Horrible.
Oh, okay.
It's the, I don't know.
Say what you feel, Jack. Say what you feel.
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to do? Come off.
Yeah.
Copilot's terrible. It's the most generic software you'll ever have. It writes your emails for you. It's not the same. And what people don't realize is AI is just artificial intelligence. It's kind of like saying food. I do food. Well, what kind of food, right? There's like a million different types of food.
Yeah.
You've got food that supplement you. You've got food that keeps you alive. You've got junk food. But AI is such a big, wide open space. But I just say, if you just want to sing a simple friend that's going to help you, Claude, he's the best.
Okay. Have I got time for another one?
Yeah.
Yeah. My other question is, are you familiar with a chap called Nick Ellis?
No.
So Nick Ellis works for an organization called Select Technology. And he is the reason why I've become interested in AI over the last sort of probably a couple of years, really. But what Nick does now is he's pulling together AI experts to basically offer services to charities to help them. I think he's calling it AI for Good. And it's actually helping. So he's putting together AI sort of experts in different fields, different sort of facilities to actually help charities and community organizations actually use AI themselves. You know, I'm, again, if I ever come back on this show, we'll talk charitable sector because that's something I'm very passionate about as well. And the funding options for them are completely disappearing. Stronger Kent Communities. Have you heard of Stronger Kent Communities?
No.
Yeah. So that they've announced that they're closing, aren't they? And that's a horrible thing to hear. They've been an amazing support for...
Well, Paul supports loads of charities, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he said, I think he's had three close.
Yeah. Stronger Kent Communities are, you know, they support the infrastructure of the charity sector, but there's no funding for them. And they are sadly closing. I think it's the end of July, if I remember rightly. Yeah, but they're closing down. So any support that the charitable sector, the voluntary sector can get, particularly from organisations that are developing this new technology, it's huge. So if you're right, I'll introduce you to Nick because 100%. I think that's something that would work.
Mm, yeah, definitely.
I mean, I spent a lot of time in my past with one of my sales companies. We ran it for 3 years and generated around £28 million for charities. So I'm all for charities.
Yeah.
It's something where AI can help in all different ways. But it's like I said, you walk into a person's business or you sit down with them and you go, well, actually, here's the part where it can help.
Yeah.
Here's where you can waste, like you said, the question of what software did you invest in time. Mm. You can do that with AI. But what we do as a company, British Hire Consultant, is we figure out, hey, you may actually just pay for a consulting session and not actually pay for AI because you might just want to use something like Claude Anthropic over ChatGPT that can help you. Or it might be, well, actually, you're missing out a ticket where you actually could utilize a bespoke AI that can build a solution that enables you to now go generate an extra £1 million of revenue every month because you're missing that margin there of customers that you had from blah, 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 post-COVID, or there's so many different situations and circumstances. But yeah, now that'd be brilliant to get connected with someone in charity.
Cool.
Wow, good, amazing. Right, so we've actually got another 4 minutes. So I'm just going to play the last advert and then so that we make sure that is played. And then we'll see if we've got anything else we want to share with you.
Do you need a reliable property management service or lettings agent? PJJS is a well-established property management and residential lettings company in Maidstone, Kent, which deliver an effective and efficient quality service. Call us now on +44 78 55 746 966.
So what I want to talk about now is we've started doing the KCC Trades event, which is really great because we're working with Trading Standards.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you guys think about, we were saying about... you know, honing down and being working with a particular thing. What do you think about these groups that are just working with trades or property or the Hard Hats and Heels? That's just property, isn't it? How would you compare those to the completely open events that are there for everybody?
I think they're great. I think tradespeople or construction understand each other.
Mm.
And I think what it does is it focuses. And then the people who speak or the people who are in that group who have specific support, specific skills, can use those skills really quickly to help other people. And I, from those groups that I've been to, I found that they've been incredibly dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they work very well. Definitely Hard Hats to Heels.
Mm-hmm.
My God, the group chat is... it's pinging, pinging, pinging all the time. And it's all stuff where people need help and support. So I think it's great.
It's strange, isn't it? Because you've got some group chats that just literally are chatting about absolutely nothing and sharing gifts and things all the time. Ours, I would say, they go on when they want something specific. It's like, do you know a gardener? Is there anyone in Synergy who does that? Is there anyone in Synergy who does this? So everyone helps. And what we did do is we broke the groups into broke the WhatsApp chats into each group, which was requested by quite a lot of people. But now they've all, majority of them said they want to go back into one chat.
So what's your view there?
What's your view there?
my view. Well, it's difficult because obviously, yes, the construction industry, the tradespeople industry. I mean, I'm not in any of them yet with Synergy, so I would love to be part of this.
All right, okay, so let's bring you into
but,
it.
But in terms of kind of like reaching out to as many industries as possible, I think I hear what you're saying about the sending gifts, sending memes and stuff like that. Those aren't – those have their place, but – not if it's all put in together. So there's a group for here's the social element of Synergy, and here's the business element of Synergy.
Yeah, Synergy don't do that.
social Synergy.
Yeah, social Synergy. Thank you so much, everyone. It's been an amazing show. I've really enjoyed it. I hope you all have as well.
Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Very insightful. So, yeah, thanks very much for listening, everybody. We will be back again next week with Jill Russell, and it will be Chris Endersby, as I say, and Paul Andrews on the 24th, because I'm going on holiday. Yay! Bye, everyone. Have a great week in business.
Thank you for listening to the Business Network Show, featuring Jill Russell of the Jill Russell Consultancy and Linda Cloak, founder of Synergy Networking Events. Tired of business networking that feels like hard work? It shouldn't be a chore. It should be a chance to grow. Join the Synergy business community and connect with like-minded professionals right in your area. We provide the opportunities to boost your brand's visibility and growth without the stress. Stop wishing for better contacts. Start building them. Visit synergynetworkingevents.co.uk today or call us at 07769943756.